Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Amen. So I want you to go to two places tonight. I want you to go to the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and I want you to mark your Bibles there. And so we'll go there. And then we're going to look at several verses, but I want to end with you in Ephesians 4. So we're going to look at those places. So Luke chapter 6, go there. And I'll give you kind of the breakdown in a minute. And so we'll go together through there. And what we've seen so far in this process is last week, Pastor Brian gave us part number 3. But I'll just walk you real quick through the headings of the last 3 parts. Pastor Dan started us by saying, talking about consistent. He says you have to get consistent. And so such a powerful word. But as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about change tonight. But that is a word that transformed my life when I was just a visitor. Actually, I wasn't a member yet, but I was a visitor, wanted to get involved in this church. I came on a Sunday, and our founding pastor, Pastor Jim, said a phrase that transformed my life, even though I have been a Christian for many, 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 many years since I was a child. You know, he talked about consistent and commitment. He says, there's no commitment without consistency. And so that thought was so impacting for me, and it changed the way I started thinking about my Christian walk. And so that's what we want you to learn. We want you to learn that consistency is crucial for you to advance and be disciple and grow in the things of God. Here's the second thing. Pastor Teresa walked us through, get to know the family of God. You got to get to know your family. He talked about the importance of God as a father and Jesus, our intercessor, our intermediate, the one who connects us with the Father. And he talks about the power of the Holy Spirit, why we need the Holy Spirit acting in our lives. And so that's part of your family of faith. The brothers are around you, but the spiritual family is also with you. And then last week, Pastor Brian talked about getting grounded in your faith. And so you have to grow those roots. You have to believe what God is doing and acting in your life. And so you have to get grounded. You have to become part of this family. You have to attend church service. You have to do certain things in order to be discipled and to grow. And tonight, talking about what we have introduced you to, I want to talk about lasting change. So the series is called I'm New, What Do I Do? I'm New, What Do I Do? The road to lasting change. That's what I want to talk about tonight, because that's week number 4. So when we get these things, how do we become people that actually are transformed? Because that's really a big issue a lot of times in our Christian walk. How do we change, Pastor? That's a question that's asked a lot. I have a friend, and this friend, he's older than me. He was actually a church planter. He started a church in the Dominican Republic. Eventually, that church also started in New York. And so he started several churches, an amazing friend. And so he was sharing his testimony when he became a Christian. And he was just a womanizer. He was, you know, out in the streets. And so he gives his heart to the Lord. And he said, it was amazing. I gave my heart to the Lord. And the moment I gave my heart to the Lord, I woke up the next day and had no desire for drugs. I wanted nothing. I was immediately delivered from drugs. But I noticed one thing. I could not stop cursing. He said, I had a foul mouth, and no matter how Christian I got, he just kept going. And so don't raise your hand if you're a foul mouth Christian. We're going to talk about it tonight. And so he was frustrated. He found himself saying, God, you free me from the hardest thing, which is my desire for drugs. Why won't you free me from having a foul mouth? And this is where discipleship and process comes into play for us to be transformed and renewed like Christ. And there's a lot of ways in our Christian walk that people become, hear me out, people get frustrated and then they go back into the world. They become frustrated because they said, Pastor, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I don't see a lot of changes. I'm struggling with things. I see some things have changed, but I keep struggling. So I become discouraged, and then I go backwards. And God is saying, no. We're going to learn tonight why Jesus is going to give us the clues for us to remain advancing forward, even if it's at a slow pace, as long as you move forward. Who's with me tonight? It is so crucial. It is so crucial that you and I understand that we have to move forward. And that process, that forward momentum, is super important. And Jesus gives us a clue about it. And we found that in the book of Matthew 6:21. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. We're reading from the Amplified Bible. It says this: for where your treasure is, there your heart. There your heart. And then it says this, expands. It says, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centers will be also. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. Notice, a lot of times people say, well, your heart is, that's where your treasure is. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you put your heart where the treasure is actually deposited. Whatever you give credit, whatever you give value to, that's what's going to lead your life. And in the times of the Bible, the treasure was considered the mind, the soul, the center of action, the center of direction. And so Jesus is saying, wherever your treasure is, you're going to place your heart, your life, your emotion, your desire, your emphasis, everything's going to head in that direction. Are you with me tonight? And it's very important for you and I to understand that he is actually working in us doing that. That he wants us to see, what is the treasure of my heart? How do I develop that? There's a clue into it when we look at the book of Mark in a moment. You don't have to go there. I'll read it before we go to Luke. And so it's interesting because in the book of Mark, we found the story that you know it as the rich young ruler. That's how you know it. That's how it's a lot of times the Bibles have heading. And the conversation is this. Jesus is teaching. And when Jesus is teaching, this young guy, according to the word of God, comes out and says, good teacher. I love Jesus' answer. Jesus says, why you call me good? Only God is good. That is a crazy answer. Here's why. Because we, from this perspective, all assume that Jesus is perfect and good in every way. And because he is perfect and good, he's saying, no, not even I, God is it. So he's sending a message to this young guy. He's creating this dynamic that he needs to understand for the transformation of his soul. And then Jesus says, well, if you're going to, you know, follow me, see the kingdom of God and do those things. And Jesus says, I want you to do something. I want you to obey the commandments. I want you to obey your parents. I want you to hold true to those things that we hold dear and valuable. And the guy says, Jesus, I do all those things. Now, when you read it, any of us would assume this guy's like, you know, when you get the answer correctly before the whole class to your teacher, you're like, that's me, man. I'm the one. Hey, rap about it, right? And so he is absolutely fanning himself. I am so great. Then Jesus does this. And this is where change comes into play. This is verse 21. Verse 21. I love this. Verse 21. Looking at the man, the Living Translation, Mark 10, 21, Jesus felt genuine love for him. With anyone here that's here tonight, I want you to understand something, that God is not in the business to hurt you in any way. Jesus looks at you with love, with love. And so when we feel frustrated that we're not changing, we're assuming that God is upset at us because we're not changing at the rate we think we ought to change. But he's working something, and he's telling this young man exactly that. And he looks at him with love and says, there's still one thing you haven't done. He told him, go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. I want you to see the next line. Then come follow me. And here's where change comes into play. This is so important. I want you to get this clue, because a lot of people misinterpret this verse and said this is why rich people don't make it into heaven, because Jesus does say that it's difficult, but he's not talking about wealth. He's talking about possession. And I'm not teaching about money right now or anything. I'm talking about possession. Look at verse 2. Verse 22, at this, the man's face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Here's Jesus' point. You can be reading the Bible. You can be praying a lot, which you're going to look at. We're going to be attending church, being in a small group. But if something is in the throne of your heart above Jesus, it's got to go. It's got to go. And here's the road that people find themselves, because this young guy said, man, I thought I was doing everything that people want me to do. And Jesus said, I asked you that. But there's something else that possesses you, and that is your finances. That's in the case of these young men. I don't know what's for you. It could be your fame. It could be your car. It could be your friend. It could be your kids. It could be your husband. It could be your job. Whatever it may be, something's got to change. Why? Because lasting change only comes when doing the will of God is at the center, at the forefront of my mind. That is the only time change is going to come. I'll repeat it. Lasting change only comes when doing the will of God is at the forefront of my mind. Unless the will of God, doing what God wants, is the thought, the process, the idea of my heart, I am not going to find lasting change. And what happens is we get a commercial Christianity. And in commercial Christianity says you can declare yourself to be a Christian, but you don't have to do anything to change who you are. And that is not what the Word of God teaches. Matter of fact, that is not what Jesus said. Jesus is in the process of working in us. So if we want lasting change in any area of your life, we want to learn the will of God and we want to pursue it. We want to make it the center of our soul and our thought process. This is so important in every area. I encourage you in every area of your life. I remember one of the things when my wife and I started kind of liking each other and considering we were dating each other, we agreed on one thing. We needed to have a common mission. Because marriage in and of itself is difficult. We come from two different cultures, two different backgrounds, two different races. There was a lot of things that could go wrong in our relationship. Are you with me today? But because we said there's one common thing with you and I, we're going to find what the will of God is, and we're going to pursue it with all our hearts. And that has been a binding agreement in our relationship. What is the will of God for us? And we're going to put our energy to it. And that allows us to make any lasting change in our souls, in our marriages, in our person, with our children, in everything we do, because we've made the commitment to find the will of God and pursue it with all of our energy. So here's what God is saying. If you want to change tonight, then let's find out, how do we get the will of God in our lives? How do we bring that to happen? How do we bring that to fruition? And Jesus talks about it. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Are you getting anything tonight? I want to make sure. Sometimes when people are quiet, they're thinking. When they're quiet, they're thinking about dinner. One of the two. Luke chapter 6. And it's a famous parable. It's the parable of the ground, of the foundations, and how you build your life. And so Jesus comes along and is telling them this parable. Let me start in verse 45. Let me find it first in my own Bible. It says this, verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bring forth good. You can replace man with woman, humanity, however. A good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. He keeps going. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, it is your heart that determines the fruit that you get. It is your heart that determines whatever comes out of your life. He says, if your heart is good, man, you're going to find ways to do good. If your heart is evil, you're going to find ways to do evil. And in the end, whatever you say is coming from your heart. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I've had to learn so much to change some of those things and actually change my speech. And when my wife catches me saying something negative, she told me, you have to change that declaration. I was like, I'm just going to go away now. No, but she's right. She's right. What she's saying is, hey, the things that you're saying are not coming out from the heart that I know that you have. And we can challenge each other in that way. Hey, man, you might want to frame that thought in a different way. Because it's saying that for me to have lasting change, I got to find out what's coming out from here. It is, the essence is right here. Whatever is in there is going to manifest one way or another. You can tuck it in for a few years. You can corral it for a few years. But eventually, unless there's transformation, it'll come out. And then Jesus teaches us how to build a life that is lasting. Verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord? What a powerful expression. And our pastor, founding pastor, Pastor Jim, taught on this many years ago. And that expression is so powerful because for us, Lord sounds funny. We're a democratic sort of republic. We're people who have mind of our own. We make decisions on ourselves. We pride ourselves on freedom in this nation, but which are good things. They're not bad. But when you think biblically, Lord is somebody who completely owns you. Don't leave yet. Just stay right there. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? I think every parent in this room with small children can understand this verse. Why you call me Father, Father, if you ain't doing what I'm asking you to do? Step to it. Let's go. Jesus says, hey, listen, if you're going to say that I lead your life and that I'm in control of your life, you got to do something. You got to do what I'm asking you to do. This is crucial, my friends. You cannot change if you're going to continue to do life your way. If you're going to say, Jesus, you're my Lord, but I'm going to make every decision, he's not really your Lord. Now, he can be your Savior because you're trying to do things, you're asking and forgiving, but he's not really leading your life. So no lasting change is really going to come to your life. And you'll find yourself frustrated later on because you're not doing the thing. So there, here comes. Verse 47, then he says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. So he said, if you're doing what I'm telling you to do, I'm going to show you what you're like. Verse 48, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently, meaning hard, against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Wow. So he's saying, when you build your life on the things of Christ, we are all going to face pressure at some point. But have you noticed how some Christians remain through the difficulties and others wash away? It's all about the foundation. It's all about the foundation. And this is crucial. If you ever built anything, the foundation is the most crucial thing. It's a crucial thing. I come on the East Coast. When we see it in Florida, it's different, but I come from the islands on the East Coast, the Dominican Republic. And we also get hurricanes, but we build different. And now I believe Florida is starting to do that. We build with brick. We don't use sheetrock. And so when the storm comes, the building remains. But if you see a storm, North Carolina, South Carolina, there on the coast, and when it comes and it's all sticks and sheetrock, it's gone. It's gone. Why? Because the idea of building has to be different, has to be built around the elements where you're at. You have to build around the elements where you're at. And this is very, very important for us to grow. He continues to say in verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing. He who heard and did nothing. Can I share with you something, church? There's a lot of Christians who come to church, hear the message, sing the songs, and do nothing. It actually pains me to verbalize that. But that's a reality. That's a reality. And that's why God is challenging you and saying, hey, you got to do something. There's some things you got to put in the process. And so Jesus says the same thing. Then the wind came, it came against the house, and it says this, against which beat vehemently, and immediately fell. And the ruin of the house was great. So Jesus is saying, for you to have lasting change, you're going to have to build in something so simple, that is absolutely crazy. You know it, I know it, but it's good to remind ourselves how the Bible wants us to apply it to our life. Here's the first one. You got to learn his will. In order for you to find this out, let's find out how you got to learn his will. And the greatest and most clear way to learn his will is through his word. The Bible, it is absolutely the roadmap for our Christian walk. Absolutely the roadmap. And let me tell you something. We have a podcast as a church. I'm not against podcasts, YouTube, listening to Spotify, different preachers. Please get all the God you can. But none of that can substitute your time alone in this book. None of it. None of it. None of it. You may say to yourself, Pastor, I don't understand it. Let's find versions that can help you. Translations that do. The Amplified, New Living, The Message, whatever. They're not direct translation, but they're great. Great to listen to. Great to read them. Man, when I read them, it makes me sleepy. Then put them on audio. But find time to get into the Word of God. Find time. You won't change unless you do that. As a matter of fact, I believe John Bevere, many years ago when he came, he preached this word, and he said something that was so powerful. He said they did a study of people who read the Bible, and it's astronomical. He said people read it one time, two times, it was minimum. But he said people who read the Bible on an average of four times a week, the drastic change in their life was absolutely noticeable. They did a study about it. You read it once or twice, hey, you'll get some stuff. But four or more times, people's lives absolutely were transformed. Because something happens when I find out what God wants for me, how he wants to lead me. Psalms 48 says this, 40 verse 8, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within word, church. My heart, that's where it is within my heart. And it's so powerful for us to allow the word of God to come and stay in our hearts. My wife has a cousin who's now the pastor at a church that my father-in-law founded. And he was not in the things of God, even though my entire wife's family are Christians. He was not in things of God in his teenage years and early 20s. He was just not there. I think maybe 18, 19. He was not in things of God, completely out there, gang's crazy life. And so one day, he has to move in with grandma and grandpa, who are just old school Pentecostal believers. So if you ever live with grandma and grandpa, or old school Pentecostal believers, you're going to hear them praying tongues, pray loud, pray at 5 a.m., pray at noon, pray at 7. The word of God is going to get in there somehow. And so he's seen, you know, his grandparents. And so he decides, I believe either grandpa challenged him or he decided, I'm going to go ahead and read the Bible. And he decides to read the book of Proverbs, which is 31 chapters. So he reads it throughout the month and he continues to read it through a summer. Do you know that he was so far from God and decided to read the book of Proverbs? By the end of the book, he gave his heart to the Lord. And to this day now, he's a pastor, use of God in amazing ways. All because he said, God, I'm going to take you serious. I'm going to find the roadmap of my life through the Word of God. And this is why, church, the Word of God is so powerful. We have to invest time with the study and grow in it. But Jesus said, unless you do what it's in, unless you find the way and you do it, nothing's going to change. There's a lot of people that can absolutely debate the Word of God, but they see it as a book, not as a roadmap of the will of God for their life. Two different things. If I read it as a historical book, I'm going to get information. If I read it as I'm wanting to find what God wants for me, I'm going to get transformation. Absolutely. Complete change. And it's so important. You can give God a praise for it if God is speaking to you. That's wonderful. Romans 12:2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or the renewing of your heart, the renewing of the core of who you are, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. But it only comes when I allow this to transform my mind, to change what I'm thinking, to change the things that are in my life. Our pastor wrote this phrase in the book. I've always found in page 52, and I loved it. So here's what he wrote. He wrote, God will always speak to us in line with what he says in the Bible. God will always speak to us in line with what he says in the Bible. And so if things are crazy in your life and don't add up, let's get to the Word of God. Let's find out what he's saying, how he's leading us. And this is how we're going to get to lasting change. The first thing is I learn his will. Here's the second thing you got to do in order to grow. You got to pray his will. You have to pray the will of God into your life. You have to allow it to be transformed, to be touched, to be just come out of your soul through the word prayer. Prayer is absolutely important in your life, and it's crucial. Let me tell you, I obviously have a personal prayer, and there's people who have different levels. All right, we all talk about always Pastor Teresa, which is super intense in her prayer. She loves us. She teaches it. Dr. Kovanek, my wife, prays. There's people at different levels of prayer. But pray. I don't care what you do. Just pray. And what happens is we want to find somebody, oh, man, I would like to pray like that person. They weren't born that way. They pray their way into the will of God in that manner. And so it's important for us to continue. The more I learn, the more I can confess. I found this kind of cute, but it was a prayer kids pray in our lives. Look at this. These are kids are so precious and they're so pure. It says, Dear God, please send me a new baby for my mommy. The new baby that we have, you sent last week, Christ, too much. Debbie, age 7. Agnes, age 6, says, Dear God, please bring me a new brother. This one kicks me all the time. Dear Lord, tomorrow is my birthday. Can you please put a rainbow in the sky? Kids are so he's so pure, so honest. Look at this one. This is my guy here, David. Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Can you send an angel to speak to my dad? Thank you. He was polite about it. Spending time with Jesus is important because prayer is how we get to know God. We pray his will. And you know, you when you spend time with people, it's how you get to know them. When you have conversation with people, it's how you get to know them. And it's important for us to, you know, we hear a lot from our pastor when we talk about prayer, is that we tend to say amen and kind of hang up the phone on God. You don't have to hang up the phone. You can say amen, but you can continue to talk. You can do it in your car. You can do it in quiet time. You can sit in a park. You can do it in the morning. You can do it in the evening. You can do it at any time. And it's so important for us to know that just make the time. There was a time in my life where when we had small children, the morning was super hard, so I had to get up to go to work, And you know what I had? Lunchtime. I didn't go out with buddies at lunch all the time. So I would just go to a park, park my car, put some worship music, get my Bible, eat my lunch, and read my Bible and pray. And I did that for quite a while. And it was beautiful. I just needed to find the time. And you and I need to make that time. And you might say, Pastor, I don't even know where to start. Just start to pray. I know it feels like a long time, and we put pressure on ourselves because Jesus says to the disciples, you couldn't pray an hour with me. So then we're like, I need to pray an hour because Jesus beat up on the disciples, right? The first time I tried that, I said everything in 5 minutes. I mean, I was just like, Jesus, and I looked at my clock, and I'm like, man, it's going to be a long hour. So just start with 5 minutes. Just start with becoming honest in your heart. Look how it says that Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Can I pose the question to you? If Jesus, being the Son of God, had to make time to pray, what about you and me? Think about it. He is all-powerful, almighty. He's the Son of God, and he slips away from ministry, and he gets away from people to spend time with his Father. And Jesus, especially in the book of John, says often, I do it so I can do the will of the Father. So I can do the will of the Father. He knew the word, and then he spent time in prayer. He was praying the will. And praying the will of God is so powerful. The disciples knew about prayer because they all knew they've gone to synagogue. They knew about prayer time. And so prayer wasn't a weird thing to them. They already knew prayer. But something happened. The Bible says that the disciples saw Jesus, and look, especially Jesus said, Jesus, teach us how to what? Pray. Can you imagine? They already knew about prayer. They've seen the Pharisees pray. They knew what happened in synagogue. They understood prayer. They themselves had prayer they needed to do as Jewish people, and so they knew prayer. But when they saw Jesus' prayer, they understood this guy prays differently. Something he's doing is transformative. And so Jesus says, absolutely, I'll teach you how to pray. And then he gives us a prayer that we all, a prayer that is very famous, and we know it is a model of a prayer. It wasn't meant to be repeated every night, every day, 50 times, but it is meant for, to be understood as a model for us to pray. And the New Living Translation says it this way, Matthew 6, verse 9, I'll start in verse 9, says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. First thing Jesus said is, I want you to do something. I want you to acknowledge the holiness and the greatness of God when you pray. And many times what happens is we start with what we need because we feel desperate. Jesus, solve my problem. God, hear me out. And Jesus says, don't do that. First thing you got to know is say, God, I know you're great. I know you're merciful. I know you're good. I know how great you are, how holy you are. Let me acknowledge you. Thank you so much for everything you've done. Let's start there. Wow. Verse 10. Now watch this. It says, may your kingdom come, and this translation adds, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, once you acknowledge the greatness of God, I want you to do something. I want you to ask him to do his will in our lives. Because lasting change only comes when the will of God is at the forefront of our minds. And so he's asking for it. He said, you need to ask for it. You need to pray, God, let your will be done. God, I'm going into work today. Let your will be done at my job as it is in heaven. You already have a will for my work today. Let it be done. Let it be so. And you may say, Pastor, that day was horrible. It's okay. God is at work on something. See, because once again, prayer and giving, which we're talking on the weekends, is not a slot machine in the sky. One of the expressions we do here at church is not that. We can't just go, cha-ching, I'm going to get. No. It is communication. It is constant conversation. And then Jesus says, once you ask for the will of God, then you can start asking for stuff. Verse 11 says, give us today the food we need. Here's what Jesus is saying. God is aware of your needs. And he wants you to ask him for it. But he wants you first to have faith in him as powerful and mighty and knowing that he has a plan for whatever need you have. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I'm not missing food today. We're in a wealthy country. We're doing okay. Whatever your need is, Jesus is saying, now you can ask him. And it doesn't say there. Watch this. And then he says, and forgive us our sins. Here's what Jesus is saying. I not only want you to solve your needs, I also want to transform you on the inside. And he says, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Most people skip this line. I mean, I've heard that prayer prayed many times without that line. Forgive us our sin, give us our daily bread. No. You'll be forgiven as you forgive others. Got complicated tonight. Let me see if I can get you back. Don't go yet. Saying, hey, listen, God is going to do something amazing as you pray, as you believe, but you also have to extend mercy as you have received it. And that's part of prayer. That's part of transformation. That's going to help us. When I do that, you know what happened? I become more pliable towards my wife or husband or my children. I become more pliable towards my boss when I do that. When I say, man, it's so difficult to work with this person, but Lord, you've forgiven me, so I'm going to forgive this person, and I need you to help me to do my job. And God says, I can work with that. I can work with that. It's according to my will. Are you with me, church? Verse 13, and the let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. What an amazing prayer. Why, once again, lasting change comes when doing the will of God is at the forefront of my mind. Not only do I learn it, not only do I pray it when I talk to him. Here's the third and last one for tonight. I have to practice his will. I have to practice will. And that's the conversation he had. That's why in Luke chapter 6 he says, those who do what I am saying to do, those who put into practice the things that we're talking about, they will be in a solid foundation. So until we practice the thing that God is inviting us to do, we cannot expect to have the transformative life that is bringing to our lives. And this is so crucial, my friends, so crucial that we begin to practice the things of God. Otherwise, we're not going to obtain what God has promised. And a lot of people get frustrated in their walk with God because they don't see the results. So I'm going to invite you tonight to do something. Are you practicing what God is telling you? Are you putting it into practice? And that's when you invite grace. Grace is so powerful because the Apostle Paul, which we're going to read as we end tonight, the Apostle Paul is one of the most powerful men that we see, an amazing man. And the Bible says that the Apostle Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove something from him. He wanted change. He was frustrated. He said, God, there's something in my life that doesn't change. And then God says, hey, Paul, I'm going to tell you something. My will is that you lean on my grace. That's going to be enough for you. That my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because there's some things that you and I are going to have to work out in the process of time. In the process of time. So church, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Pick it up and say, you know what, God? Whatever you bring my way, I'm going to embrace it tonight. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to pray through it. And then I'm going to practice it. And watch God do something powerful in your life. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both, to will and to do for his good pleasure. God is so kind. Listen. God is so kind that he tells you what he wants you to do, and then he helps you to do it. He tells you what he wants you to do, and then he helps you to do it. He's so kind. He's never going to make fun of you. He's never going to tell you, you can be a conqueror, and then let you be a loser. He won't do that. He won't do that. He won't tell you, you can love your neighbor as yourself and then abandon you when you're trying it. He won't do that. Because he's saying, I'm going to give you the ability and I'm going to give you the desire. So what's my prayer? God, I'm dealing with this addiction. I need you to give me the strength to overcome it and the desire to change it. That's my prayer. Whatever it may be, you pray it and let God change you. But it takes action. Takes action. And here's Ephesians. This is the end. Ephesians chapter 4 gives me the action points. The Apostle Paul writes this. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24 in the Living Translation says this. For you have heard about Jesus. So he says, you've already heard this stuff about Christianity and Jesus. And you have learned, we talked about it, you have learned the truth that comes from him. Not only have you heard, you are a learner. Just like you tonight. You're learning the truth of Jesus. Verse 22, throw off. That's action. That's action. He said, I want you to do something. I want you to remove. I want you to throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Throw off. Get rid of it. Move it out of the way. you know what happens is we cuddle with it sometimes. Let me say it this way. I know you've seen these videos, but if you haven't, they're kind of funny. These videos are crazy because these are videos of people who work with wild animals. I saw one recently where somebody was working in a zoo, and I think they were either taming whatever it is, a lion in a zoo. And you think, oh, they're tamed, they're working in a zoo. But for whatever reason, the lion got upset that day and went after the trainer. Here's what happened with sin. At some point, because it's wild, it'll turn on you. So if you cuddle it, it'll bite. So you have to throw off. You have to get rid of it. Verse 23, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. In verse 24, put on action again. Your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You remove and you put on. You remove and you put on. But it's not going to happen unless there's action taken in the process. Why? Because lasting change only comes when the will of God is at the forefront of your mind. Unless it becomes a center of your thought and your desire. And the way you're going to do that is you're going to learn it by reading His Word. We're going to pray the will of God. And we're going to practice the things that God is asking us to do in every area of our life. Can you give God a praise for that? He spoke to you. Would you pray right there? Just ask Him, Lord, what's my part in this? Maybe you're a good student of the Word of God, but your prayer life has waned, and you need to get back to it so you can see lasting change. How about this? Maybe you're just not doing what you know God is asking you to do. If you hear His voice tonight, and He tells you, I want you to do X, Y, Z, take action. Let Him help you. Let's pray together. Father God, we're so grateful that you're such a kind God, and you said, I'm going to help you change. I'm going to lead you into victory. I'm going to give you the roadmap. Here it is. So God, tonight we received it, and we're going to put it into action so we can have lasting change in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're here, before we depart, I want to make sure that your heart is right with God. Maybe you haven't had a time to think through stuff. We've been celebrating and praising God, maybe laughed or learned something new, but I want to make sure that you evaluate the condition of your soul. And one of the things, the way I like to explain is this, is if death were to knock at the door of your heart, would you open your eyes in heaven or in hell? It's a very important question. It's a very important question because it determines the location of your soul, of your heart, and of your thought process. For most people in a nation like ours, which is considered a Christian nation, we always say we go to heaven. And we make heaven an assumption, kind of like people just get to heaven. And you talk to people all the time, and they're saying, hey, good people go to heaven. And the Bible says nothing of the sort. This is why we're learning about the will of God. There's not a single verse that reflects that thought. Not one. Not one. And the one that reflects in the book of Isaiah says that if I think that by doing good I earn it, those deeds become like filthy wrecks, like dirty things to God. Because otherwise, why would God send His Son to die on a cross for you and I? He sent Him because not only does He love you, but because you and I need Him. And we need Him in order to make it into heaven, in order to have a direct relationship with God. He is the only way. Jesus says about Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And tonight, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you the opportunity that we talked about to make lasting change in your life. If you've never done this, if you never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, which we talked about, as the director of your life, tonight is your night to do that. Because otherwise, you would only stay, watch this, in a thought process of thinking who God is in your life and not knowing if He's really at the throne, at the direction He's in charge of your life. And tonight, I want to give you the opportunity that you repent, meaning, God, I've been going this direction, and tonight I want to make a change and go your way. And this is how we do it in our church. In a moment, I count to three, I clap my hand. And when you hear that clap, you raise your hand right where you're at. Right where you're at, you can say, Pastor, that's me. I want to do that prayer tonight. And then I'm going to see your hand. You can put it right back down, and then we'll pray together. I'm explaining this process so that you know, and don't feel weird and uncomfortable. Because a lot of times we say, well, I'm not sure, or I'm embarrassed. No, do not make that trade-off. Do not make the trade-off to say, because I'm embarrassed for a moment, that somehow I'm going to miss out on an eternal relationship with God. That would be a terrible mistake. But the enemy, the devil, wants you to think that way. And tonight I want to invite you to be bold. Because Jesus says, watch this, he says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'm a man, I'll see your hand. I'll acknowledge you before my Father. But if you deny me, if you say, that's not for me, I'm not doing that. Not me. Jesus says, I will deny you. He already went to the cross and died for you because he loves you. All he's asking of us is that we're bold enough to say, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I want to start a relationship with you tonight. If that's you, in a moment, I count to three, you raise your hand and we pray together. Who should raise your hand? If you've never done this, tonight is your night. Who's your raise hand? I see already a hand. Way to go, man. You can put it right back down. We'll do it together. If you did it, but you walked away from God, come back to him tonight. Be bold about it. Who should raise your hand? In a moment, we'll pray just like that gentleman said, hey, I need that. If you know God speaking to you right where you're sitting, this is your moment. I count to three. You raise your hand, and we'll pray together. Ready? One, two, and three. Is there anyone else in this building? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Thank you. So three. Thank you. Anyone else? This is your moment to say, hey, Pastor, that's me. I don't want to leave this place without making sure my life is right with God. It'll be sad if you go and reject Christ when he's inviting you tonight to make a change. Is there anyone else? This is your moment of salvation. It's your moment to say, hey, that's me. I got to make a change. If you're thinking about it, fight through that thought and say, you know what? I need to do that. I need to do that. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. It's not about embarrassment or putting you, putting you blast like the kids say, just exposing you. None of that. It is about giving you opportunity to publicly say, I am in need of God, and I got to change my ways. This is your moment of salvation. That's you. You raise your hand, and you let me know, and then we'll pray together. It's my last moment. That's you. Other than those three hands I saw over there, is there anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Oh, good. Amen. Let's give God a praise for those beautiful hands. I love it. Here's why we celebrate, because the Bible says if even one comes, then the kingdom of God is celebrating. And in a moment, we want to do this. We want to celebrate with you and pray together. We have our team. Remember we talked about FCC? We have a team that wants to pray with you and give you some information, that green book, walk you through the process. If you've never done this, I want to help you, but I can't do that unless I meet with you. And in a moment, we're going to do this. And even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know God is speaking to you, when they come, I want you to come. Let's all stand. And if you raised your hand or didn't, come on. Come out of your seat. Meet us right here. We're going to pray tonight and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Say, hey, I'm going that way. Hey, friend, would you go with me? If you need a friend to go with you, just tell them, hey, I'll walk with you, man. I'll walk with you. Young lady, I'll walk with you. I'll say yes to Jesus. This is your moment of salvation. Good job, man. This is your moment of salvation. It doesn't matter where you're at. God bless you, man. This is your moment of salvation. Even if you didn't raise your hand, good job. This is your moment. Tell him, hey, I'm coming. I'm coming to Christ right now. I'm walking. This is your moment. Just get out of your seat. Meet us right here. God is speaking to you. I believe there's a few more of you guys. And if God's speaking to you, this is your moment of salvation. Say, hey, I'm heading their way. I got to get this right. Ask your neighbor. Tell them, hey, man, I'll go with you. If you don't, you have to be embarrassed. I'll walk with you. I'll give you 10 more seconds, and then we'll pray together. We'll pray together in a moment. God bless you, man. Anyone else? New life. Good job, man. Good call. Hey, for those who are here tonight, we're going to pray together in a moment. And even if you want to get out of your seat, you know God's speaking to you. The moment hasn't passed yet. We're going to pray together. And this prayer is not magic in terms of, I got to say the words right. No, the Bible says that if I say it, but I believe it in my heart, something new begins today. And that's what we're going to do today. All these people want to celebrate with you. Would you repeat this prayer? Just say it with me. Say, Father God, I repent of my sin, the wrongdoings I've committed against you. But tonight, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want you to lead my life from this day and until eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on. Awesome, man. Good job. Listen, we talked about grounding you in the things of God. And Pastor Joel has a team of people that they want to give you information to help you to ground yourself in the things of God. To say, you know what? I've been playing with God. I want to get serious with God. Would you go with him? Just follow him. Get that information. They'll offer you prayer and you come right back to your seat, okay? Go follow him right there. He'll get you that information. Nothing weird happens. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's awesome. Come on, give God a praise. It's absolutely wonderful. Good job, guys. Man, that's a bold step. When you heard the message tonight, that's a bold step. And so we're always grateful for everything God does. when it brings people to salvation. Hey, grab a book if you haven't. Do it with your family. Do it. Just go through it. If you open your book, if you haven't done it, so it'll say week 4 at the top, and you start reading from there, and just start applying these things in your life, because God wants to create lasting change in your life. That's His desire, and that's His will for us. Amen? Can I bless you tonight? Would you raise your hand right where you're at? Father God, thank you so much. These are your children, and I bless them today from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. May they be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Blessed coming and blessed going, that everything they put their hand to, it will prosper, because that's what your word says today. And we confess about our Inland Empire that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.